from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. What Bears player helped himself the most in terms of a positional battle or a roster spot in the preseason finale? Did anybody hurt his chances? And what is the toughest roster decision facing our Bears?
That's the one thing you come out of this wondering. Was there anybody playing for a spot? Was there anybody having to have a good night to keep a job or to win a job? I think that the most obvious choice to me would be Velus Jones. He's a tweener. He's a wide receiver who can't catch, a punt returner that you don't trust, and now he's going to be a running back who's in a hybrid role that could help this team. I think he had the most to gain by a big night, and you know what? He had a big night. 13 carries, 111 yards, and certainly the long touchdown where the cutback and the vision was good. And you look at that, and I, as I said in the opening segment, I do think that there were people out there who saw that play, and their mind went to Cordero Patterson, because that's the comp best-case scenario. You don't know if you're ever going to get that in the return game, but Velus Jones, he looked the part last night. He looked like a guy that could play a hybrid role in this offense. May not be up every week, but I do think he probably played himself onto the roster. I don't think it's between him and Kari Blassingame, who played last night. I was a little surprised to see the fullback in action. We didn't see Nate Davis. We'll get to that later. We didn't see Nate Davis.
I like him even less.
Okay. So I think that you look at Velus Jones is a guy that might have played himself into a role. Did anybody hurt his chances? It's unfortunate, but when you have an injury in the last preseason game, Larry Borum may have hurt his chances to be part of this team early on. I don't know what they're going to do to depending on the severity of his ankle injury. I wish I knew more about that, but that certainly doesn't bode well for his future. He also makes, as we said, $3 million. Defensively, maybe you would have liked to seen a couple more defensive tackles flash, because that is the weakest position group, or arguably one of the biggest concerns about depth. The toughest roster decision facing the Bears right now is, I think, what they're going to do at the defensive end spot, which has Austin Booker, Dominic Robinson, and the claimed player to be named later. They're trying to probably go forward and address their pass rush with guys who were not yet cut, and guys who could be future Bears. That, to me, is going to be the one they talk about the most over the weekend.
Well, could you add Hardy to that mix, right? Is he part of that mix? You know, that's where I was going with. I'm in agreement with you, David, on that is the one that I think you got to keep an eye on, is that edge rush, defensive line overall. You know, all good answers. I can't disagree with you with Velus Jones. I'm just not sure, as you and I talked before the show started, was that a... All right, Velus, we're putting you in when we put you in. Because at first, he wasn't in. And I think that was curious. So then when he did get in at first, it's like, okay, why is he playing when he is playing? What does that mean? And was that, we trust him, we like him, he's on this roster, or we thank him for his service, now go ahead and put out as much good tape as you can in the fourth quarter of this game? We'll have to wait and see. And I'll just be honest. I mean, I did not know who Reddy Stewart was until last night. No clue. I didn't know. But now you know him, and a guy who can take the ball, you know, takeaways. It's part of the hits principle, right? It's a big part. Everybody loves to get Coach Wonstedt's in here with you and Mully on Tuesdays, loves takeaways. Every coach on the defensive side of the ball just salivates over takeaways. So if you are a ball hawk, he improved his stock the most. I mean, he's going to be you're not going to put him out tomorrow to be cut, okay? Because somebody will grab him. You're going to try to wait till the last possible second and hope you can hide him somehow, some way on your practice squad.
You talk about a cutthroat league, and guys, I want to go back to Larry Borum. He gets hurt, and like you said, David, a third-round pick in Karan Amagaji has not played much during training camp, but he was a third-round pick. Larry Borum, you can think that he was terrible or not, but over the last couple years, he's been a guy that they feel comfortable when there's an injury playing left and right tackle. So that is not, you can't just go out there and find somebody off the scrap heap where you feel that way about. So how much has Karan Amagaji developed? How good do they feel about him? And that's going to decide whether or not Larry Borum sticks around, even though he had an injury. And as far as somebody that cemented themselves, I look at Daniel Hardy as a guy who either they're going to keep or they're going to have a hard time bringing him back on the practice squad, because if they cut him and try to bring him back on the practice squad, you worry about him being swiped up off of waivers. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, and really the next couple of days or two a week, to see who is cut and who is brought back and who is claimed off waivers.
Don't you think he made the team last week, Daniel Hardy? Don't you think he
feels
was
like it
on the team after the Bengals game, and maybe last night he played with a little bit more security? Maybe not, but you look at that defensive line and they do lack numbers and they do value depth. I think that's a good one, though, because he did flash again, and he's been obvious all preseason.
And then Austin Booker, not a position battle, but how much does he factor in? I saw him play a little bit in at Kansas last year, especially against Oklahoma, and he flashes every single game. The question is, will we see that at the NFL level in his rookie season when he's out there in likely pass rush situations against starting level NFL tackles?
How would you evaluate?
Yeah, I mean, when you go,
how would you evaluate Tyson Bagent's game Thursday? His preseason overall? In what ways have you seen the most improvement? And what areas would you like to see him improve? How many quarterbacks will be on this Bears 53-man roster?
Tyson Bagent had the second best preseason among Bears quarterbacks, and only exceeded by Caleb Williams because of what we saw from Caleb Williams that convinced many of us, not all of us, Sean King, that Caleb Williams is ready for the season. Tyson Bagent is too. Tyson Bagent has taken a step in his improvement, his development, and his maturation as an NFL quarterback. I saw that list of best NFL backup quarterbacks around the league yesterday. We talked about it a little bit on FoxSports.com, and they named 20, and Tyson Bagent wasn't one of the 20. That's fine. These lists are what they are. They're conversation pieces. I think the Bears have to feel pretty good about their backup quarterback situation. Tyson Bagent is a guy who is highly coachable. What I like about his fit in this offense is the way they move the pocket. He's an athletic quarterback, and when he's rolling left, he can throw right across his body. That's very hard to do. And when he's rolling right, he's a threat to run the ball, as we saw with that touchdown. So Tyson Bagent is a multiple threat, and he has put himself in a position to be valued so much that the Bears didn't want to get him hurt. This is a young man that has taken advantage of every opportunity in front of him. Now I think the Bears have strength in numbers at the quarterback position. They trust Brett Rypien to be the guy with the experience in the offense, if you want to call it that. Austin Reed is a nice undrafted free agent project maybe to develop. I think they probably keep two on the 53, possibly three. If somebody, we always worry about teams claiming quarterbacks, but every team kind of has quarterbacks like this in the system. I asked a question rhetorically on X last night or Twitter about, well, whether it's a secondary or the wide receivers or the running backs, which position group is the deepest on the Bears? Somebody came back at me and said, hey, what about quarterback? Well, what about quarterback? It's a good question, and it's only a question because Tyson Bagent has taken advantage of this preseason to improve.
He might be the Bears preseason MVP overall, Tyson Bagent. He was special again last night. I mean, you talked about it, the athleticism. Again, this is an undrafted. This isn't even, I mean, this is a guy that went to a school that you might not know if you drove through the town that there was actually a football school. Right? I mean, that's how tiny it is as far as the landscape of college football.
It's a speck.
Yeah, I mean, he's a super unknown. He's got a ton of moxie. He's got a ton of athletic ability. And again, I think the perfect role of a backup quarterback is cheap. He's cheap, football terms, right? He had a $25,000 signing bonus when he kind of gyrating in his seat up at Hallis Hall compared to the $22.5 million signing bonus for QB1. And he can get you through a game. He can get, and that's the idea. Can he get you through a game? You know, some quarterbacks that have more pedigree and better lineage and have started more games in the NFL can't necessarily get you through a game without that week of reps. Tyson Bagent can do that for you, and I think that's part of his really valuable part. As far as do they keep three, what's the new rule, David? You know this better than any of us. What's the new rule? Like, you can... The third quarterback doesn't count on the active day roster. Is that what it is,
they
right?
They can dress. Yeah,
the emergency dress, guys, but it doesn't count as a dress guy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you have the opportunity to keep ripping, great. I would do that, but I don't know that they have that luxury.
Tyson Bagent has shown that he is a really, really good preseason quarterback. One of the best I've seen, and a guy that is playing his way to being the perfect backup for Caleb Williams, and maybe down the road gets a shot at some point to start if he continues at this trajectory. The one thing that you notice about him and have noticed about him since day one is his confidence. And I remember watching Brock Purdy at Iowa State, his first ever game as a freshman, stepping on the field at Oklahoma State, and you just see that he was not going to be... He had confidence in himself that he was going to win that game that day, and he had that same confidence when he stepped on an NFL field. So I'm not comparing the two, but with Tyson Bagent, he has the ability to throw on the run, and he's the perfect guy that if Caleb Williams goes out, he's the C-plus version of what he can do in that offense.
The one thing I wish we would have seen more of when we talk about the question refers to what would you like to see him improve? Obviously, it's arm strength. Obviously, it's the downfield passing game. He talked about working on that in the offseason to get to the point where he's not questioned or doubted. I wish we would have had more evidence of his downfield passing improvement and the strength of his arm that he says is better. We didn't see it, but I think if you're nitpicking, that's the one thing we didn't see that you would have liked to.
First, I ask questions.
We're at the point in the preseason where everything will be ranked, such as NFL.com's power rankings, listing the Bears 18th overall. Do you think the Bears are in the top half of the league, which would make them a playoff team? What range would you place Matt Eberflus in your ranking of coaches?
Well, I think the Bears are probably closer to the middle than they have been in years, probably since 2020 when they were right in that pile of kind of mediocre teams. And them being debated whether they're 16th or 18th or right around 20, that's improvement for a team that's lost 24 games in the last two seasons. It wasn't that long ago we're talking about the Bears being among the worst in the NFL. Now they're right around the middle. That's improvement. Now they're a team that could flirt with the idea of being 9-8, 10-7, double-digit victories, which seems to me overly, a tad bit overly optimistic, But they've had that kind of preseason. They've got an identity. They've got a culture. They've got a star in the making. All those things are things that give you optimism and hope and realistic expectations that they're going to be more competitive. That puts them between 16 and 18. I like that. No problem there. Matt Eberflus, I think that he's escaped the bottom. He's not among the five worst NFL coaches. I think you see the way he connects with his players. I think you see the way that he helps himself be a smarter head coach or look that way because he's an aggressive play caller as a defensive coordinator. I also think that Hard Knocks has helped Matt Eberflus's image. Now, Matt Eberflus has helped Matt Eberflus's image. He's handled himself much more professionally. He comes across a lot more clearly. The message is cleaner and simpler and stronger this offseason, this preseason. That's a credit to him. But when you have a 60-minute infomercial on the strength of your organization and you are the co-star in that show, Hard Knocks, that's helped Flusie look like, if he were a candidate, we'd say he's more presidential. But so far, he's looked like a very good, competent NFL head coach.
Yeah, I mean, we all love a good list. I think that's about right for the Bears, right? Kind of smack dab in the middle. I'm looking at a CBS Sports head coach rankings. This was done towards the end of July. Not real good for Matt Eberflus. 26th. Right behind him at 27th was Jonathan Gannon of the Cardinals. Right in front of him, Mike McDonald of the Seahawks. I know you like that guy, David, but what has he done yet, right? I mean, because he's got some Ravens stink on him. He's ahead of Eberflus. This is the one that I can't believe. 24, the Panthers head coach. I don't think if you reside outside of the NFC South.
Canales?
Can you? Well, you know that.
Not Lou.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, I mean, who? What? How is that guy?
See, I think that's an interesting list, but do it again after Hard Knocks.
Right.
It's like taking a poll before a convention. All right? Let's see what the polls say this morning, because you're going to get the Hard Knocks bounce if you're Flusie.
Yeah, that preseason poll, this guy's got an issue with that preseason poll.
I have good news for Matt Eberflus. He's now in the top 25. He was 26. Now I can confidently say he is in the top 25 of coaches.
Like Iowa.
Somehow.
Under consideration.
And also the same question. How's the offense going to look? Defensive-minded head coach. Great defensive play caller.
Yep.
I think that when we get back to the defensive talk about how they blitzed in the preseason, is that a wrinkle with Eric Washington calling the plays in the preseason? And will that transfer over? And will that mesh into when Flusie is calling the defense? But either way, we know that he's good on that side of the ball. But as far as the Bears, they're right where they need to be. Just below, right around the middle, just below that halfway point, with the opportunity to prove themselves. And I say it all the time with this team. I'll say it again. I'll believe it when I see it. And they have the opportunity week one against Tennessee to show something.
In answer to your question,
how do we feel about the Cubs after they routed the Tigers to win the series? Justin Steele looked like an ace again. Is it enough for them to win the Marlins series, or do they need to do that sweep thing?
Well, if we're going to come in here Monday morning and talk about the wild card spot and what they need to do, you know, it'll be August 26th. Time's running out. They need a sweep. They need to sweep the Marlins. The Marlins are not having a good year. They're a disappointing team in the National League. Take advantage. And Cubs, you go in with a little momentum, you keep winning series, but you need to sweep one at some point. You need to rip off 6 in a row, 8 out of 10, whatever the case may be. Yesterday, you felt very good about the Cubs. The bottom of the batting order came through. Amaya went deep. He had to. I mean, Christian Bethencourt is hitting a ton. Amaya maybe felt the pressure. Justin Steele looked like an ace. They took care of business. It will only mean something if they go down to Florida and take care of business, too. And that would mean sweep. Win the series, okay, you're treading water. You need to do more than that.
Absolutely. Must be a sweep. Can't wait if they do sweep on Monday to be here during this segment. I did predict a sweep on the Fly the W670 podcast. My guy Crowley predicted 2 out of 3. But they've got to sweep. And again, this team has not earned the right for you to get excited about, well, what if they made the third wild card? What could they do? Okay, let's just be relevant. Let the Cubs be relevant for another couple of weeks at least. You know, I think Bruce laid it out really well the other day, and Bruce will be here at 9:25. I think, David, he said they had to go 11-4, over the 15 and games. Mm-hmm. And I think but right now they're 2-1 in that 15.
Okay.
So this is where you got to come out of this one 5-1 to have a real shot at it. These games against the Pirates, okay, they've got games against the Pirates coming up, 6 of them. Those are going to be like mini playoff games, because that's the team that's right behind them, right around them. They're going to really need to take care of business and put them in the rearview mirror, because they've already got too many teams they've got to pass up.
It's going to be a sweep on the sweep. This has to be a 3-game sweep for the Cubs, because they need to get over 500. The final team in the playoffs is the Atlanta Braves at 9 games over 500. The Cubs so far this season have been maddeningly mediocre and sit 2 games under 500, 5.5 games out of that spot, and it has been that way for seemingly the last 2 months. So until they get that momentum and show that they can get on any type of a run like they did towards July and August.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
August of last year, I think that nobody's going to take them seriously as a playoff contender.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All right, the Tigers, they're staying in town. They're going to play the White Sox. So how many games of the weekend series will the Sox win? What's the biggest reason you'll watch the Sox if you can find one?
Sox are going to eke out one. The Tigers are sleepwalking to the finish. I think that they do they have any more bullpen games in them? I don't know. I mean, I know they came into town with a similar record from the Cubs, but that looks like a team that is going to feel like by the time they wake up tomorrow morning, they've been in Chicago a long time. I think they probably still take 2 out of 3 from the Sox. The reason to watch is Saturday, Kai Bush against Skubal, the Tigers' presumptive AL Cy Young Award candidate, and he could be the winner. So that is the best game of the three. The Sox will lose 2 of those 3 games. Watch anyway.
Yeah, I'll try to watch. That's a good reason. You gave a good reason there. Wasn't A.J. Hinch part of the Sox potential managerial candidates a long, long time
ago?
He's
the one that got away, apparently.
Right? Yeah. So he's doing a pretty good job making chicken salad. Is that something that interests you? Because there were people, you know, you can't bring the cheater in. He doesn't deserve a shot. Mm-hmm. Tigers gave him a shot. He's doing a good job. And one of his coaches, I don't know if it's his bench coach, but definitely a coach, is a former coach with the White Sox. Did you notice that over at Wrigley? Joey Cora holding up like numbers. I've never seen that before. They hold up like a 3, and then they hold up like a 2. It's like supposedly their defensive positioning. So maybe that's something Sox.
Ozzie's guy.
Is Joey Cora? Could Joey Cora, a guy in uniform in the division, be a candidate to be the next White Sox skipper?
Hmm.
I'm going to say that, like you, David, the Sox will win one game, but why are we watching right now? To see if they can avoid history in a bad way. Can they get over the 40-win mark? Can they get over the 43-win mark? The time is running out. The clock is ticking. And right now, to me, that's kind of all that there is to watch with this team.
not answering your questions.
All right, Florida State plays Georgia Tech to open college football season Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. kick. Is it too early for college football to be on your radar? Will you watch? What are you looking forward to the most this college football season?
Of course I'm going to watch. No, it's not too early. I love college football. I could talk college football every week of every month of every year. So we get started for real Saturday morning. It won't be Saturday morning in Dublin, but that's where they'll play. Florida State, it's put-up time, so they can shut up. After 63-3 getting beat and blown out by Georgia in the bowl game after crying about being left out of the playoff last year, it's put-up time. They've got, okay, let's look at this quarterback who is the epitome of what college football has become. DJ Uiagalelei. He has gone from Clemson to Oregon to Florida State. This is your modern-day NIL quarterback who can transfer and use the portal to his advantage. You'll see what he's got. I think that their offensive line has got a collective 345 starts. That's a lot of experience. I think they rout Georgia Tech. I think they come back to America 1-0, and Mike Norvell can talk about how good they're going to be up until they get left out of the playoff again.
Well, speaking of that playoff, David, that's why I think this game is very watchable, not only because it's going to be in Ireland, so the pictures should be great, somewhere that I would love to go at some point in time. But this is also a team that's ranked preseason number 10, my favorite team, and one of your favorite teams is ranked number 7. That's Notre Dame. Notre Dame and Florida State play on November the 9th in South Bend, and that could be kind of a pseudo playoff game for that last spot in the playoff, potentially, right? Like the winner of that game, assuming their seasons are going the way two top 10 teams, the winner of that game is going to be in the playoff. So I think that game is really circled. So I'm interested in this game kind of scouting FSU at this point, because Notre Dame has a big opener a week from now, and that they're taking on a top 20 team in Texas A&M, and that one's on the road, never easy to play at College Station.
True.
I'm looking at, first of all, absolutely I'm going to watch. And David, we can nerd out on college football all day if you'd like. But it's the quarterbacks in new places. You mentioned DJU at Florida State, and you mentioned Notre Dame. How is the Duke transfer Riley Leonard going to look? How's he going to look in a new system? And
better than Sam Hartman.
Yeah, that is true. Dylan Gabriel at Oregon.
Ooh.
Another really intriguing transfer.
And Heisman Trophy candidate.
Everybody is poo-pooing this quarterback class as far as the NFL draft. Can Carson Beck from Georgia prove that he is a potential number one pick? Quinn Ewers at Texas. What does he look like? And yes, the group of five getting a spot in the college football playoff for the first time. Will it be a team like Boise State with Malachi Nelson, the USC transfer, and their outstanding running back, Ashton Jonte, or my Memphis Tigers, or possibly the Liberty Flames once again? So I am stoked for this college football season. It's going to be a historic one.
He's Alex Kuhn along with Dustin Rhodes. That was the pick six. A lot of fun going through all the things. The extra point is next. Did you hear what Sean King had to say about Caleb Williams on The Score yesterday? We'll play that next, and we will react to it on the Mullion Haw Show, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.